Good morning. The Apostle Paul tells us, as Justin just read for us, and let's read it together. Let's read it all together. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. What does that mean to you? What does that mean? This is almost a rhetorical question. I want you thinking about it right now, which I understand is very rare for me. I usually want a response, all right? But I want you to think about this, because this is a very, to me, a very serious thing. What does that mean to you? What is your spiritual worship? What is your spiritual worship? Now, last week, we began a new teaching series called Hymns, History, and Theology, where we look at songs and hymns and see what is beneath the words and the music, the history of why they were written, if there's a story behind it, or the theology of the actual words. And this week, we're looking at a powerful song by Matt Redman called The Heart of Worship, and it asks a powerful question. And that question is, what are you presenting? What are you presenting? Now, some of you may be thinking, you come to church, and some guys, maybe you're thinking, hey, I get 30 minutes of sleep. A nap is important. I just hope you wouldn't do it here, right? So, but some of you may be thinking about the day's events, especially if you're having something exciting going on. Some Sundays, you know, like I always think of graduation Sunday. I'm sure people have a hard time focusing on graduation. I shouldn't have said that. Why did I even look at Paul? But what are you presenting? Have you ever thought about that when you come to worship? What is it that you are presenting? This concept of worship is central to biblical faith, and therefore it is how God wants us to worship Him. But what does that mean? What in the world does it mean to present something, to present a spiritual worship, as the Apostle Paul said? Well, Psalm 133, I mean, it is throughout our Scripture that we hold up as true and important. And Psalm 33 says this, "Sing to Him a new song, play skillfully and shout for joy." I asked Sean Miller was our liturgist in the first service, and I says, you know, I can't remember the last time someone in our service shout for joy. And we really have every reason to shout for joy. Now, some of you may be thinking, oh, Eric, this is the United Methodist Church. It isn't Pentecostal. Right? Hey, what is shouting for joy? Does that mean it's Pentecostal? It means you're celebrating what God has done in your life. And so, therefore, what is wrong with Pentecostal? Right? What are you presenting? What is your spiritual worship? Psalm 33, sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. And it's interesting, even as we go through Scripture, even in difficult times, for instance, Habakkuk writes in the Old Testament, though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails and the field yields no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no herd in the stalls, yet, boy, yet is powerful, isn't it? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. When is the last time you exulted in the God of your salvation? Listen to that. All these things are going wrong. The fig tree does not blossom. No fruit is on the vines. The produce of the olive fails. The field yields no food. Though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. Chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Now listen to this, bringing it forward into the New Testament. Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 16, which is essentially a historical text on how the church began. Acts. We read that Paul and Silas, remember Paul once was Saul, right? And was persecuting Christians, and he became Paul. And Paul and Silas now are preachers of the gospel. And they were sitting in their jail cell. Is that hard to say, or is that just me? And they chose to overcome these terrible conditions, and they chose to worship God. Now listen, they'd been unjustly arrested. They'd been beaten and severely flogged. Tell me, brothers and sisters in Christ, when is the last time you were beaten and severely flogged because of your beliefs? They were beaten, severely flogged, and they were thrown into the deepest part of the prison with their feet in stocks. And yet, there's that three-letter word that's so powerful, isn't it? And yet, somehow, Paul and Silas found it in themselves to sing out praise to God. Amen? The heart of God loves the offerings of a persevering worshiper. The heart of God loves the offerings of a persevering worshiper. An unquenchable, burning worshiper that is full of the Holy Spirit. So I ask again, what is your spiritual worship? What are you presenting when you come to worship? What are you presenting? You know, it's so easy as we come to worship to have the mentality that we're coming to be entertained, don't we? It is so easy to have that mentality that we're coming to be entertained. We come, we look at the organist when Deanna plays that so awesomely, typically on the first Sunday of the month and you know, maybe more. But the first Sunday of the month, and you know, Pat on the piano and her, the way she makes that thing sing, and Dana as worship leader, right, and the praise team and the leaders here, and the preacher, they're all here to entertain us, right? Dana, you're supposed to be helping. No, seriously. You know, we have, even if it just a little bit, and I don't even think that a lot of times we recognize it because the world is so pervasive in that attitude. Right? We come to church and we think, no, Eric, we don't come here to be entertained. But if you would really be put in a corner and put your foot down on it, someone put their foot down on you with this regard, I would be, no, I can't say that as a United Methodist pastor. I think, right, that it would come down to entertainment. We are looking to be entertained. And I guess the question I want you to think about is, as you think about it, as I'm pressing you, have you ever worshipped that way? All this performing goes on up here, and I'm sitting here enjoying the performance. I don't have to do a thing. Praise God. Hey, we praise God, right? It's almost as if we're saying, worship team, bring God to me. Right? Even as a pastor, it's hard. Because I'm always thinking, oh man, if I say this in just the right way, it will open up their hearts and God will just come pouring in and it'll be an amazing experience. If we do this in just the right way, this will happen. It's like the way I make cake, you put the water and the oil in the chocolate mix, right? And voila, there's a cake. But if you I can't even think what it's called. The list of stuff that you make stuff with. Ingredients. Thank you. See? You laugh. I bet you couldn't have thought of it either if you're up here, Mark. No, seriously. It's like if you put the ingredients in just the right way, in just the right amount, worship is going to be awesome. Just like a cake or lasagna or anything else is awesome when you put just the right... Amen? You hear what I'm saying? I mean, it's so hard not to be in that mindset when you are planning worship services. So I'm not speaking just to you. I'm speaking to myself as well. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? And you know the frustrating thing? Do you really want to know the frustrating thing? It doesn't matter what I say or what we do. If you don't come to worship ready to listen to God and to His Word, nothing's going to change. Your heart will never change. Your mind will never change. But for some reason, this mentality of performance, you know, we think about things, oh, she's way too loud, he's singing flat, speaking of Dana, of course. The guitar needs to be tuned. The sermon is way too long. Or as I hear often, you meddled this morning from my mother-in-law. No, just kidding, Ginger. And we lose the focus of why all this is happening. Do you hear me this morning? Tell me, who is the audience member when we are worshiping? God. So think about it this way. If we want to think about this as a performance, there's only one person sitting in the audience, and that is Matt Redman, the song that we're speaking of this morning. This concept became so powerful about 15 years ago that it actually changed the language that churches use because of this concept of all of us are worshipers. All of us. It doesn't matter if you're sitting here or if you're sitting or standing up here. All of us are worshipers. And so hundreds of thousands of churches around the country start, and probably the world, because he's from England, right? Started saying lead worshipers. Like Dana would be a lead worshiper in this situation. That means that instead of a worship leader, you hear the difference? So, in other words, there's only one worship leader, and who is that? God, right? And so all of us are worshipers, and so anybody up here is a lead worshiper. And to quite honestly, my thought is, why do we need to distinguish that at all? Let's just say we're all worshipers. Amen? But what does that mean for you all that aren't up there? What does that mean? What is your spiritual worship? What are you presenting? When you come, can you be entertained, or do you have to put as much energy into all that as we do up here? Think about it this way. If each of you spent as much time in the Bible as Justin or I or Dan or whoever's preaching does for preparing the sermon, think of how much further we would be on a Sunday morning. And for about every minute a pastor preaches, there's an hour of study of some kind. So if there's a 20-minute sermon, typically there's about 20 hours of work in that week for preparing a sermon. That's kind of rough. I mean, in pastor's life, if things happen, sometimes you can't get that. But in general, that's about the speed of it. So think about if you studied the Scripture like that, or devotions, or whatever. And when you came to worship, you had been thinking about the service just the way every single person up here has been. Think about what worship could be like. Well, Eric, why would that make a difference? For one thing, you are getting mentally and spiritually prepared to come and receive something from God. Amen? I told the first service that, you know that picture? It's of Revelation, and it's Jesus knocking at the door. Have you seen that famous picture? All right? And there's an interesting thing in that picture. Does anybody know what's missing from that picture? The doorknob, that's right. Why in the world would a doorknob be missing from a picture? What do you think that's implying? If Jesus is knocking at the door, you know, I stand knocking. If you come to the door and open, I will come in and eat and drink. And you see, okay, that's Jesus, right? So what is that implying, that picture, that I would have never thought of? Isn't he just an amazing artist to think of that? Whoever is inside has to open the door for Jesus to come in, right? Yes, we believe Jesus is here. We believe God has anointed this place. But the thing is, we have to come prepared. We have to open the door so Jesus will come in. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? We have an amazing, all-powerful God that can do anything God wants. But you know what? God created you in His image. What does that mean? You can create, and obviously, humans can destroy, can't we? You can create and you can destroy. As a matter of fact, your words and your actions will do one of two things. There's no neutral ground. They will either create or they will destroy. Think about that. Every word that comes out of your mouth will either create or destroy. Why? God made us that way. That's exactly how God is. I'll let that sink in just a moment. But here's my point. God respects you so much that He'll let you go to hell if that's what you choose. God respects your decision so much that He is not going to force Himself into your life. Romans talks about people have no excuse. God is all around us, and it is so evident. People have no excuse for not knowing that there is a Creator God. And neither do we as people who follow Christ. So if God is the one who is the audience member and we are the ones who are the worshipers, the performers? What does that mean? What is your spiritual worship? What are you presenting? Let's read these two questions together, all of us. What is your spiritual... Wait. What is my... Let's make it personal. What is my spiritual worship? What am I presenting? Have you thought about this before? You know, it's a lot like any kind of a sport or a performance. It really is, as worshipers. Think about a sport. I don't know about you, but even as parents, whenever one of our boys is in a football game, we're thinking about it all day long. Even if it's not the primary thing on our mind, somewhere back there, Eric's brain is turning. Eric's going through every play in the playbook, right? I mean, I happen to be a coach of a younger age, and so I know the plays. But I'm going through them. I'm figuring out the game plan they're going to use, right? That's football. You hear what I'm saying? That's football. And you know me, I love football. But it's just football. We're talking about worshiping our Creator, and so many of us don't think about worshiping our Creator until we walk through those doors. We should be thinking about it 24/7, let alone at least maybe about supper time yesterday, thinking, oh man, we're going to worship. I wonder what the sermon topic is going to be. I wonder what songs we're going to sing. I wonder what God is going to have ready for me to receive. See, God's calling right now. I knew I shouldn't have gotten rid of my old phone because that's what he calls on. It's just like that old telephone ring. All right. I'm sorry. I'm not making fun of anybody. I just thought that was good timing. So what is your spiritual worship? Here we go, guys. Read the scripture with me. Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. What is your spiritual worship? What are you presenting? Quite honestly, this is the most important hour, hour and a half, whatever it takes, of your life. Because we're praising our Creator, our Redeemer, the one who sustains us. Hey, the staff and the team leaders are all reading this book, Get Their Name. It's by Bob Farr, a leader in the Missouri Conference. It's a great book, and it's an easy read, but yet the concepts can be challenging, which is good. Why read a book if there's not challenging concepts in it, right? But he asks a question in the book that is so important, and I want you to stick with me, please. How have you experienced God's forgiveness of grace, God's forgiveness or grace or compassion in your life lately? Now, he's trying to get to the real question, and he's just trying to explain to people what he's getting to. Here's another way to look at it. Have you experienced God's comfort, hope, or support in your life lately? And here's the real question he's asking is, have you experienced God recently in your life? Have you experienced God recently in your life? Whether it's through forgiveness or grace or compassion or comfort or hope or support. Have you experienced God in your life? You see, what the question is when you get up in the morning, what do you think about? Oh, another day. I think I hit a nail on the head there, didn't I? How about, praise God for a great night. Praise God for a new day. Maybe I need to start over. Praise God for a new day that I can start over. My feet are on the ground. I'm putting one foot in front of the other. Praise Jesus. You see, it doesn't have to be, I saw the clouds open up and Jesus came down to me. Now, if you got a burning bush like that, please share. But even we're talking about the little things. How about taking a... Oh, I woke somebody up. Praise God. I had the strength to take my husband to Alcoholics Anonymous. Praise God, I had the strength to take my new little kindergartner to school today. It's the first time she's been away from me. You see, we're not talking about huge things, are we? We're talking about strength on daily events. Praise God for the miracle of a newborn baby. Amen. Praise God that I found a person who loves me and respects me, and I love and respect them, and we choose to live together, get married. Praise God. Praise God for a friend, right? Praise God for a friend that I can go out to eat with and actually be myself and not put up those walls that I have to with everybody else. See what I mean? We're not talking about big things here, although it would be great for you to tell me big things. But we're talking about, where have you seen God at work in your life? Tell you what, we don't praise God for every breath that we have in our lungs, but I guarantee you, after you've had lung cancer, you do. If you have emphysema, you do. If you have COPD, you give God praise for every single breath. Amen? Why does it take things like that before we give God praise? Why can't we give God praise just like right here? Everybody breathe in. Breathe out. Praise Jesus. What is your spiritual worship? What are you presenting? How have you experienced God in your life? All right. Whenever we come to worship, I want to read you this history of this song. It's a really powerful history. And it's about Matt Redman. And he is from the Soul Survivor Church in Watford, England. And it was an interesting situation. The pastor and the worship leaders had kind of felt like something was missing from the church. And he says there was a dynamic missing. And so the pastor did a pretty brave thing, he recalls. This is Matt. He decided to get rid of the sound system. He decided to get rid of the band. And Matt says, we gathered together with just our voices. His point was that we'd lost our way in worship. And the way to get back to the heart would be to strip everything away. Matt says the question initially led to some embarrassing silence, but eventually people broke into a cappella song. And heartfelt prayers and poems, encountering God in a fresh way. He continues, before long, we reintroduced the musicians and the sound system, and we gained a new perspective that worship is all about Jesus. And He commands a response from the depths of our souls. No matter what the circumstance or our setting. The heart of worship simply describes what occurred. And here's the song. Listen. When the music fades, all is stripped away. And I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I have made it, when it is all about you. All about you, Jesus. You see, the act of worship is not about me, my wants, my needs, or my desires. It is absolutely about God. As a matter of fact, a couple churches ago, I was talking to a person, and they were talking about how they didn't like this in worship or didn't like that in worship, or I wish we did more of this in worship. And I said, I guess it's a good thing worship's not about you, isn't it? The act of worship is not about me and my wants and my needs and my desires. It is absolutely about God. It's a total opening of yourself and myself up to God and giving Him the glory, folks. Giving God absolute glory in your life. It's giving God the respect that we think about this worship service before we walk through the doors on a Sunday morning. It is giving Him total glory that He deserves. It would be that you have never, it could be that you've never allowed yourself this opportunity. Eric, I have never experienced what you're talking about. And maybe, possibly, the issue is not God and not the church. Maybe it's because we don't think about this until we walk through the doors and we expect a miracle. But we forget that the miracle is already here. See, when we open our hearts, when we open our minds and our souls up to God, our Creator, we will be blessed beyond measure. Amen? We will be blessed beyond more than we can ever imagine. We have to open ourselves up before God, and God will come in. God will come in. After we prepare our hearts and our minds. And again, don't get me wrong, it's not that God isn't already here among us. But whenever you put the time in to open up yourself and to expect great things when you come to worship, wherever it may be, God will bless you. And I believe this is truly God's wish for us, that we can learn to open ourselves to God and allow Him to fill our lives with His presence. Let's see this. Say this together. Put it in first person. What is my worship? What am I presenting? Let's pray. Holy God, we celebrate You this day. We truly give You praise and all the worship that we know. We want to focus our lives upon You. And dear God, this week, help us to think about You and to think about worshiping You and to think about giving You glory and honor before we walk through these doors. Help us be excited about coming to worship and think and pray and read Scripture so that when we come, our hearts and minds are open to You, God, so that we can expect and experience amazing things in our life from You in this worship service, from You, God, because of our willingness to open that door, to celebrate and to be in Your presence, God. We love You and we thank You.